Good morning. How's everyone this fine day? I'm hoping everyone is well. Please join me in our call to worship. Let's pray. Loving God, we come to worship today because we love you, and we want to love you more. We come to worship needing love in our lives. Love for family, love for friends, strangers, enemies. In this hour of worship, touch our hearts, fill our hearts, open our hearts to your love, which passes all understanding. Amen.
And if you would please stand if you're able. Can remain standing. Some of these songs move you to move, so standing is easier.
Your spirit is moving across this lonely land. We are your messengers, your touch is in our hands. Help us, Lord Jesus, to care for our friends. Help us to love them, it's your great command. Oh, wind of the Spirit, fill the sails of my soul. Send us on, Lord, let your wind blow.
Once again, good morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more melting going on out there today, which is kind of unexpected for this time of year, but certainly welcome. Are there any guests that would like to be, that are present that we would like to introduce this morning? Welcome, Andy. Is there anyone else who would like to introduce themselves or be introduced? Perhaps they're a little shy.
My son Steven is with Katie and our grandchildren,
Welcome to you all. If there's no one else that we'd like to introduce, I'll move on to the announcements. Okay. So please, I'd like to highlight a few announcements this morning. Obviously, under the prayer requests, celebrations and thanks. Number one, thank you to all those who attended the funeral, and also for the cards and the many expressions of condolences we received from our church family at the time of our brother-in-law Hans Reinhard Entz's passing. May God bless you all from Ursula and Ingo Zapp. The Lage family would also like to thank the church family for all their prayers, cards, and condolences received following the passing of their father, grandfather, and brother, Leonard Len Lage. And please continue to keep Hans Sawatsky in your prayers as he recovers from a successful surgery last Thursday. One item that is not in your bulletin, Mrs. Anna Hildebrandt. She was at Bethania. She died yesterday. And her funeral will be next Saturday, February 25th. At 11 a.m., she was 98 years young. Number seven, the NKMC Kids Club Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser. If you're hungry and you really want to have a nice breakfast, please come out on Saturday, March the 4th, between 9 and 11 a.m. I'm sure the boys, or the kids, not just the boys, the kids, they'll all be happy to serve you lots of pancakes. And of course, the annual Spring Smorg, which will be happening on Saturday, March 18th from 5 to 7. Always a very good evening of fellowship and food, which is good. And finally, there was one more, number 11, the World Day of Prayer, Friday, the March the 3rd. That's coming up. And what I would like to note there is if anyone is looking to participate or to become involved in that, apparently there is a meeting this week, I believe Wednesday, in preparation of this World Day of Prayer. And if you are interested in attending or getting more information, please contact Leanna at the office, and she'll have the date and time on Wednesday where that's taking place. Are there any other announcements that someone would like to make? Could we get a mic to Betty, please?
Good morning. This was in the bulletin last week, and it isn't in there this week for some reason. But anyway, Bull is celebrating his first year in Canada. He arrived here last year on February 17th. And so today we are celebrating that with him, with our church family. So after the service, you're all invited to come down for some coffee and cake, and then you can go home for lunch. So, so you know, most kids would say this is a good way to do it because you get dessert first. So, all right, we'll see you then. Congratulations.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who would like to share with us today? No? Okay. So then we'll move on to the children's story, if the children would like to come up.
Hi. Good morning. How are you today? Quiet. They're quiet today. Good, because you get to sit through church, and we all like to see quiet children in church. Do you guys know what those are? Those are hearts. You are right. And what do you think of when you see a heart? Love. Yes. How did you know? Awesome. This morning, we're going to be talking about love and how we show love. So I was reading my Bible this morning and yesterday. I was trying to figure out what I was going to tell. And my Bible says that we're supposed to love everyone. And then I don't usually disagree with my Bible, but listen to this. It says, you're supposed to love everybody. I don't disagree with that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. So if we're kind to just the people that are kind to us, the Bible says everybody does that. And then mine says, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Live like it. Live out your God-created identity. And I spend a lot of my day with children. And I think the grow-up part of the Bible's verse here I didn't agree with, because all of you, when you had Valentine's parties this week at school, did you just give Valentine's to the kids you really liked? Did you give Valentine's to everyone in your class? Are there some people in your class that maybe you don't really like to spend too much time with? Yeah. I want you to go home and I want you to ask your mom and dad if they gave Valentine's to everyone they work with every day. That's why I didn't agree with the grow up. Children get this. We love everyone when we're small because that's how we're made. We forget this when we grow up. So I want you guys, your job, again, you're the lesson this morning again. We are supposed to be like you. So if you have leftover Valentines in your house, I want you to ask your mom and dad if they'll maybe give that Valentine to someone they don't really like very much. Someone that's unkind to them, because that's what you did on Tuesday. I'm pretty sure you gave Valentines to some people you thought, oh, I wouldn't want to have them at my house for supper. But you gave them a Valentine anyway, because that's the thing to do. So that's the thing that we're going to be listening to Pastor Franz this morning tell all the grown-ups, that they should love everyone just like you guys love everyone. Can we bow for prayer? Father, it is easy to love those who love us. Help us to love our enemies so that they might know that we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you get to go sit with your mums and dads and omas and opas.
Please join us in singing Obey My Voice.
Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and He shall be my people, and walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you.
Please join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for your love, which does not break down, for Jesus Christ, who extended love to the lowest and the least, who loved in the face of hatred and pain. Thank you for Christ's love, which continues to rise from the dead, breaking out of places where we see only death and destruction. Love's new life breaking out in a thousand, thousand places. Who knows how? A tide of love working through all people of goodwill, working through your church. War can't stop you. Hate can't stop you. Illness can't stop you. Your love holding us secure, binding us together, binding us to you. For this we give thanks. For this we live thankfully, prayerfully, as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We will now be taking the offering.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those around me, let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery, think a little more of others, and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let me strive a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with a brother who is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me serve a little better those that I am striving for. Let me be a little weaker with a brother who is weaker. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Think a little more of others and a little less of me.
Today's scripture reading is Matthew 5, verses 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from those who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who you love, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Good morning. We'll continue today with the... Before I do that, just greetings to you and a heartfelt thank you from Peter Hirschfeld. He wanted me to say that to you and express his appreciation for your continued support in his time of recovery. He is at home, by the way, right now, with some medical care still going on. But he is very hopeful, and he was most thankful to all of you, and he wanted you to know that. So please keep him in your thoughts, your hearts, your prayers. Now, having said that, to our text. This direct continuation from last Sunday, and I just briefly mentioned last Sunday that this text comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I don't know how your parents raised you or the church taught you when you were little, young. But I grew up knowing the Sermon on the Mount. Because somehow my parents and our preachers at the time thought that this was the heart of the Bible, and I accepted that, and I still believe it is. It is the heart of the teaching of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that this is an easy text. It's actually a very difficult passage. You have three chapters in Matthew, 5, 6, and 7. They are a summary of the teachings of Jesus. We call them commonly Sermon on the Mount. And these teachings go beyond anything that is generally accepted, assumed, and lived by. So it is everything in the Sermon on the Mount is a challenge. At least that's how I perceive it. Last Sunday I spoke about, you know, not being angry and what anger does and how we are to go to the root causes of what causes murder. Anger. And let it go. And not act in anger. And act out those feelings. Now, I've always believed that feelings are something I couldn't help. You know, they come and they go. The good ones and the bad ones. They come and they go. And if you have inherited a certain temperament from your parents, you know, I'm not too old to blame my father for it. You know, sometimes one gets angry. The trick is not to let the anger take over. The idea is, feelings are there. Yes, they will come. Sometimes you will feel love, sometimes you will feel hate. Sometimes you will be happy, and sometimes you will be very unhappy. Those feelings come, and they are all right. As long as they are not the basis of how you live and act. Jesus wants us to go beyond what is commonly accepted because we are supposed to become more godlike. Today's text continues in the same direction. And then it says, you know, it ends. And I'm not quite happy with the translation here. It ends with the words, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Who of you is perfect? Hands up. No hands. I won't raise mine either. We know that we are not perfect, right? But when we are in trouble, when we see somebody in trouble, the question is, what do we do? How do we behave towards other people? Now, we have many examples in history. And those of you who listened to the German sermon this morning at the radio program, you already heard part of it. But I'll repeat it anyways. We have in our history, a story that goes back to the Mennonites in Holland in the early years when they weren't called Mennonites. In Holland they call them Doopsgezinden. And that means those that baptize people upon confession of faith, not as children. They didn't call themselves Anabaptists either. That was a bad name given to them in order to persecute them. So there was a story that I read as a kid, and there was a picture with it. I loved that picture, and it stuck with me all my life. There is this man in Holland who has left the Catholic Church and has been baptized as an adult, and that was forbidden, and on the pain of death. So people, the police come to arrest him. And he sees an opportunity to escape, and he takes that opportunity, and he runs. And he runs over a lake that's frozen over in winter. And this one man that's supposed to arrest him follows him on the ice. Now, the ice is pretty thin, like it's getting in Winnipeg right now, in places. And the pursuer breaks into the ice and falls in. So, what would you think? This was the opportunity to escape, right? You would never catch him. But what does this man do? He stops. And he returns. And he pulls him out of the icy water. And therefore, this man wants to let him go, but they're from the beach, they're yelling at him, arrest him, so he does. And later the man was killed because of his faith. That story is part of our history. Somebody who took to heart the teaching of Jesus that says, you shall love even those who persecute you. And he could not let him drown. He had to go and rescue him, even if it cost him his own life. Now that's an ancient story, but it's well worth preserving. For my life, it made a difference of how I looked at things. And I hope it will in yours too. And it's part of your inheritance, part of your history. And if you say, well, you're not a descendant of those Dutch Mennonites, that's fine, because that point was driven home to me when I was a student at the seminary many years ago. I was new in North America, struggling to learn the language, struggling to understand the culture. And first few months that I was there, there was a speaker at chapel service at the seminary. He was a big, taller than me, twice as wide, a big man, and he was black. He was from Chicago. And he began his speech with these words, "When our forefathers in Holland..." I said, "What?" "Yes. You know, we have genetic forefathers, but we also have spiritual ones." And he identified with that. And it made all the difference to me to look differently at people. These are your forefathers who lived out love your enemy in ways we wouldn't have dreamt of. But let's not just dwell on history. Let's get more contemporary. I heard another story. I read about it. I checked it. And yes, it is available. You can even read it up. And you can Google and you will find the people there too. It happened in the Twin Towers, New York, on 9/11. You all know the story, of course, of 9/11. But what happened is the story of two people in that tower. One person's name was Virginia de Chiara, Italian descent. And the other one was Ari Schönbrunn, Jewish descent. They both worked for the same company, Cantor Fitzgerald, on the 78th floor of the World Trade Center. And then the plane of the tower hit, a plane hit the tower. Virginia was terribly burned. She was trying to figure out what to do, and then she saw Ari, and she called out to him and asked for help, and Ari went to help her. And they hid first, and then later they found the stairs down, and then they walked down the stairs. He would walk in front of her, and he would encourage her all the way. And then he always told her, if you have to fall, fall forward. Fall on me. I'll hold you up. I'll get you out of here. Now, that is a nice story, but there's a background to it. These two people didn't like each other. Because this lady was somebody that investigated other business people. That was her job. And one of the first she had done it to was Ari Schönbrunn. And in her own words, I beat the crap out of him. So the two did not like each other, and they avoided each other through the whole working life on that company. Now they were together, and there's Ari Schönbrunn helping Virginia down the stairs, the one who was actually his enemy, as he had looked at it. Now, what would you do? Well, that's a modern story. And it ends that actually, and you can check that up, that both their lives were truly changed, not only because of the experience in the tower, but because of that interaction between the two of them. They couldn't look at life and at other people the same way ever again. It changed them. Now, what do you do? When you go out, I mean, I'm pretty safe going to work and sitting in the office. Only nice people come there. But when you go out in the streets, you meet all sorts of people, and you don't always know what to expect if somebody approaches you. Do you help them out? Are you going to be friendly to them? Are you going to greet them? Probably not. You don't know them. And I found if you dress up a little dirty and sloppy and you walk down Selkirk Street or Portage Avenue or wherever, and you try looking people into the eye, you know what you'll discover? There are very, very few people who will meet your eye. They look away, like you don't exist. Just no eye contact. Dangerous. Why? We do not see people. We see a danger. And if somebody comes at a stoplight and asks for a change, well, do you open your window? Or do you roll it up, making sure that you're safe? We are afraid. Now, there are some brave souls out there, and they might engage them. But Jesus says, you are human beings, and you tend to act like human beings, but I am asking you to look beyond, to be different. Not only with the anger and lust and stuff that we talked about last Sunday. No, here he talks about people you hate or people you are afraid of. Now, some people carry for a long time a grudge. I once had to mediate between two brothers. The one was sick. They were both in their 80s. The one was sick, and he figured he didn't have much time to live anymore. And the other one was still in good health. So he says, the sick one, I visited him, and he said, you know, I would like to talk to my brother. I haven't talked to him in over 40 years. We had this big fight, you know, because he cheated me. The inheritance, he got a much bigger part of it. He paid me out and then turned around and he made a big profit on father's farm right after World War II. And they hadn't talked since. So he says, now I would like to talk to him. So I drove out to his brother and tried to get him to go there. And he says, the things he said to me, I told him. I never want to see him again. I never want to talk to him again. And to my dying day, I'll be true to myself. I said, oh, wow. You know, you stand up for a principle, right? We carry grudges because we are hurt. And that's our normal reaction. The Germans have a saying, so wie du mir, so ich dir. As you treat me, I will treat you. You do evil to me, I will do evil to you, and I'll give it with interest back. Sometimes in the Old Testament, we get this kind of justice. Say, you know, if you slay one, I will slay 10. And that has been a retribution factor through the centuries and millennia. That's how we act. That's how we react. That is normal behavior. So when Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about this is what people do. If you just greet your brothers, what's special about it? If you help your family, what's special about it? If you are nice to those people who are nice to you, what's so special about it? Nothing special. It's not wrong. It's good. You should do that. But that is not nearly enough. You know, to be a child of God means you go beyond that. You are learning to raise a bar a little higher in your life. You look at the other one through the eyes of God and not through your own feelings. Now, love in the New Testament has three Greek words. We all translate them as love, and you all know them. One is eros. And that is erotic love, real love between people in that sense, which is beautiful and nice, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. The other one is philadelphia, which is friendship, I would translate it. It is love for your brothers and sisters, your friends, family love. That's philadelphia. And then there's a third word, also translated as love, and it's agape, agapao, to love. And that is the word that is being used, to love your enemy. But agape love is not a love of mushy feelings. Erotic love can have all those mushy feelings. You just come from sweetheart days, right? Did you give a chocolate, a flower, or a card? Yeah, nice, warm, fuzzy feelings. Great. Makes you feel good. It's important. Nothing wrong with that. But This is not what Jesus is talking about. He is talking about agape love, which is active love, that is, acting, practical things, what you do. It's not how you feel. This is not about feelings. Now, I find it sometimes very hard to say you should love your enemy and then take it with that kind of have these warm, fuzzy feelings to people who want evil or are evil. No way. I can't do that. I feel like somebody once said to me, you're talking about turning the other cheek, and he says, oh, I have a trouble with that. And he thought about it, and he said, okay, if somebody hits me on my one cheek, I will turn the other cheek. But if he hits that one too, watch out. Or we say, you know, love your enemies, it'll drive them crazy. It is not a nice thing. It's actually wanting to hurt back, right? It offends our sense of justice. It offends our sense of righteousness. This isn't right. And if somebody does evil things should happen to them. That's why we have our whole legal and justice system. You should put them into jail. They shouldn't get away with it. So, does Jesus ask us to have warm feelings to people? No. He is asking us to act in loving ways. It doesn't matter how you feel about him. It matters what you do. And once that became clear to me, I began to understand why our people always through the generations have said, you know, it's important how you act, how you live. It's not so much important what you say. And if I stand up here and make all the right pious words and then go out and take advantage of people, what good are all the nice feelings if it doesn't bring fruit? No. Even against our feelings of hatred or pain or hurt, we are asked to raise the bar a little higher and act in different ways than the world does. The world says, keep everything in balance. You do wrong, you get punished. You go do well, you will be raised up. Everything balanced. That's my sense of justice too. And then we like to think in theological terms the same way, and we think, well, God will be nice to me because in balance, I'm a good guy. I have heard people say, oh, he didn't believe in God, or he wasn't part of the church, or he, you know, he had nothing with that, but he was a good man. So surely God will accept him. And I always tell them, oh, God accepted him long ago in spite of all those things. But that is no credit to him. God loves you even if you do evil things. And he is gracious and gives you the opportunity to start over again and to try again. That's what the Bible calls repentance, metanoia, which translates as change your mind set. So we are called to change our way of thinking and act in ways that we know that God wants us to act. So, what special are you if you do what everybody else does? There's comfort in being like everybody else. Is there a parent who hasn't raised children who said, but everybody else Every time we try to tell our boys when they were young what they shouldn't do or when they should be home, but all the others, everybody else can do this and everybody else can stay up later and everybody else can go here or there. You know the argument. You probably used it yourself. You also know the saying, right? If you want to get to the source, you have to swim against the stream. Don't go with where everybody else goes. Jesus said, no, you are children of God. There's a different criteria. You are not acting on your self-preservation. You're acting in God's behalf. That's what the church does. That's what you do. You're acting on God's behalf. Paul called it in his letters, you are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador acts on behalf of the government that sends him, right? So you are God's ambassadors in this world. And you are. Sometimes, I know, we fail. But I am always encouraged, and I look out among the people here, and how many of you, and how often, you are trying to do exactly that. Go beyond what we usually, normally would do. To help those that are in need of help. To forgive those who have hurt us. To reconcile with those with whom we are living in enmity. To stretch out a hand to those who are down and to those who are with us and to those who are opposite from us. And you do that. And that's when you're fulfilling the law of love. To love those, even those that want to hurt you, who are your enemies. So when it was said, love your friends and family, but hate your enemy, Jesus said, no, that's the way of the world. I'll raise the bar. Now you have to try a little harder, and you'll reach it. Because you are God's children. Do you know that? Nothing takes it away. You are God's children. You have a rich heritage. Because he wants to give you that. Claim it to make it your own. And what is that inheritance? It is a capacity to love, to forgive, to reach out, and to build the kingdom of God. You will fail again. It says here, therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, none of you is perfect. Nobody raised a hand before. None of us is perfect. And we will never be. But, we are God's children and we strive. Paul will write it this way, I'm stretching out for the goal. Not that I've reached it yet, but there's no excuse of trying. And anyone who's in sports, he knows if you don't practice and practice and practice, or those of you in music, if you don't practice, you don't grow, right? If you don't practice, you don't achieve greater harmony. If you don't live and act in ways that God wants you to, because that's who he is, then we will never reach it. So Paul says, I'm still trying. And Paul was very successful in his trying, wasn't he? But he says he's never perfect. Neither are we. So don't be discouraged. You're not perfect, and you won't be. But you can try again. That's a grace. you can try again. And then you will know that you are God's child. You will be that anyways. But then you will know. You will experience it. When you're there for the other. May God help us and guide us and give us new insights and joy in acting out this kind of love. Amen.
Let us respond to those words with a song of praise and prayer.
Hear our prayer. We are your children, and we gather here today. We gather here to pray. Hear our cry. We need your mercy, and we need your grace today. As we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven, forgive our sins, we pray. Hear our song as it rises to heaven. May your glory fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. See our heart and remove anything that is standing in the way of coming.
Please rise and join us in the benediction, and then remain standing for the final song, Go in Peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
As we go in peace. By spreading love, the fights will cease. can we do to heal the broken? What can we do to feed the hungry? Follow the path that Jesus showed us, the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, we have all the tools we need. Through us, God will plant the seed. We will love our enemies. We are all the tools we need. Through us, God will plant the seed. We will love our enemies. What can we do to heal the broken? What can we do to feed the hungry? Follow the path that Jesus showed us, the Prince of